This is 1320 WILS. My next guest, author of the brand new book, Warrior, a memoir, True Strength Isn't Always What It Looks Like. Teresa Larson joins us. Teresa, great to have you here.
I'm excited to be here, Michael.
Yeah, this is really an incredible book because you talk about your entire life experience from beginning as a 10-year-old taking care of your dying mother to then becoming a lieutenant marine and leaving the service early. We'll talk about why, but what was happening, first of all, growing up at 10 years old, your mother is dying. How is it that you were the one taking care of her?
So my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was 4. And so her disease got progressively worse, hit remission a couple times, but ended up becoming fatal in the end.
Where was your father?
My father was around too. So we both, him and I both were the ones taking care of her, actually. So my brothers were around, but it was really hard to, it's hard to cope with what we were experiencing with our mom. But my dad and I were the ones that ended up like cleaning her up, getting her dinner, feeding her, doing the things that she needed. I would go hang out with her when she got chemotherapy and radiation. I would come home from school and do my homework next to her.
What was she telling you at the time when this was happening?
My mom was, I've read her journals actually recently, and in her journals I got a sense of she was very scared. As any mother would be, knowing that she was going to die and she had three young children.
Was she open with you? Did she tell you that she may not be around?
Yeah, she did. She was very open with me. One of the things I remember her distinctly telling me was, okay, Teresa, like, life is unfair. Like, life is very unfair. And what you have to do is keep moving. Like, life goes on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't let my death get in the way of you doing what you want in your life and being a happy girl.
So how old were you when she passed away?
10.
10 when she passes away. Okay. And what does that do to your life then at that point?
So at that point, I went to grievance counseling, but I kind of threw myself into sports in school and became a pretty shy little girl. I mean, I was pretty outgoing initially, had a lot of friends, but I distinctly remember just the changes in me. Like, nobody understood what it was like to lose a parent. You know, people would come up to you and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then, move on with their life.
Did you have any other motherly figures in your life after her?
Not really. Mm-hmm. No, people kind of faded away, Michael. Like, it was interesting. Like, for maybe a month or so, people were around, and then people faded.
So they had their own lives. No aunts or anything like that, or grandmother?
No. My grandmother, who was alive, isn't so motherly. she's a trip. So really, growing up, like, it was me, my brothers, and dad. And I became very obsessed with, like, the attention I got from sports in school. Like, I grew to build my self-esteem off of being really good at sports and getting attention, being a pitcher on the softball team, as well as basketball team and cross country.
Right.
I was pretty successful.
I'm talking to Teresa Larson, author of the new book, Warrior, and on the cover, there's a picture of you. You look like you look like you're very strong. You exercise regularly?
Oh, yeah. I exercise regularly. I've been in the Marine Corps. It's kind of a given, but I enjoy it now too. I do CrossFit and obstacle racing and all that kind of good stuff.
Now, one of the challenges you deal with in the book, the underlying challenge personally, is the issue of bulimia. Well, when did that begin to be an issue for you?
So actually, I started to begin disordered eating patterns in college, which is oftentimes when they start with men and women, is college years. You're away from home, so I was experiencing disordered eating then.
That's where you eat, and then you throw the food up, essentially, right?
Yeah. So the bulimia nervosa started in the Marine Corps. that, so the eating patterns in college, I just dieted a lot. Mm-hmm. I was into dieting and like looking a certain way and getting attention, right? Building my self-esteem off of like how I looked and how I played softball. So I was a collegiate softball player at the time. So my wins and losses and how I looked determined how I felt about myself. Going in the Marine Corps, fast forward a couple of years, I started to struggle with bulimia.
I'm curious though, first, how did you, what led you to the Marine Corps after college?
Well, so my two older brothers were Marines. My dad was in the Army. I came from a very patriotic and proud family. Mm-hmm. I grew up wanting to be like my brothers, and I felt, it just seemed like that great next step for me. I like challenges. I like to be pushed. And if I'm going to make a difference in the world, which is I always have wanted to and am, mm-hmm. like the Marine Corps is a great place to be. I'm going to make a difference as a woman.
And so you enter the Marines, and how are you introduced to bulimia? How does it even come up at that point?
So I actually was introduced to the eating disorder through one of my brother's ex-girlfriends who struggled. Mm-hmm. But I really didn't understand the disease. But usually with addictive behaviors, you learn it from someone. And while I didn't have bulimia right away, the pressures and stress and my inability to cope effectively mm-hmm. with the stresses I was under, the bulimia seemed to be the easiest, the throwing up, the binging and purging seemed to be the easiest thing for me to cope.
How does that help you cope exactly?
Well, you have a need for control, Michael. Like, mm-hmm. there's a need for control. And so when everything else is out of control in your life, right, the one thing I can control, or when you have this feeling of being out of control in areas mm-hmm. of your life, your job, your personal life, family, but food is the one thing I could control.
And you were a lieutenant. You were a lieutenant in the Marines. You were in charge of a platoon deployed in Iraq. Now, when you're in Iraq, is that where the pressure really starts mounting?
It started mounting like early on, to be honest. But I'm openly saying this is that I was more fearful of letting my Marines down than mm-hmm. war or being an engineer. Like, I got war, right? I got being an engineer, but I could not fail my Marines. I would not let this eating issue that I didn't want to even think of as an eating disorder get in the way of me deploying.
Did that eventually get exposed, though, the bulimia?
Oh, nobody knew, uh-huh. Michael, except for me. And I did talk to my dad at the time. I mean, he was aware a little bit about my issue, but mm-hmm. I spoke up about it. Like, I had to, because I wasn't sitting behind a desk. Like, I was working with female terrorists. I was doing landmine clearing. I wasn't doing things that were just like, they were all dangerous.
Okay.
And it was awesome for me. I mean, I liked the intensity, yet there is this secret life, the secret I was holding. I couldn't cope.
And you left the service. Was it because of the bulimia then?
Yes. Okay. So because I spoke up, I needed help. I was medevaced home, and the Marine Corps administratively discharged me honorably, like 6 months later. It was no choice.
Because of the bulimia, you're saying that was the actual
because
issue?
Because of the bulimia. Wow, yeah. Cool. So the military, they don't know really what to do with illnesses like an eating disorder, which is actually more common than we think right. in the military.
Well, it's secretive, right? No, nobody really sees that. How do you overcome something like bulimia?
Well, it's a lot of, so therapy is helpful for most people. I mean, especially it's not something you can do alone, but to overcome it, you have to want to get help. This isn't something where someone tells you to get help. You have to want it. And that means if it takes going to a therapist who understands what an eating disorder is, if that means meditating, if that means taking time for yourself, if that means like changing your life,
right.
like creating space to actually let yourself heal. So the big thing for me was slowing down. I never had slowed down. Like, I was always going 100 miles an hour. Yeah. I didn't want to be alone. Being alone with my thoughts is scary. And I would bet, you know, I bet many people listening would agree that being alone and meditating and being quiet, like, doesn't happen. And I made that a habit.
Noise is like a little more comforting. Now, what is your personal life like now? What is life like for you?
Well, so it's been really awesome. I mean, I still struggle. I'm going to be open with anxiety sometimes, mm-hmm. but I am married to an amazing man here in San Diego. I run a physical therapy practice. I work with wounded veterans in a strength and conditioning class. Like, mm-hmm. I give talks all over the world with CrossFit. I'm having fun. Right. Like, I'm loving my life.
Well, look, we scratched the surface. The book, Warrior, a memoir, True Strength Isn't Always What It Looks Like. Teresa Larson, the story of her first as a caregiver to her dying mother, then ending up as a lieutenant in the Marines. Yeah, the entire story of that. Teresa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. This is an honor.